Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is, You're a Dead Man. And I'd like you to turn to John chapter 11. We're going to stay in here most of the time, maybe look at a couple other places, but this story is about a month before Passover, when Jesus is crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. Pretty simple, but incredible, powerful story. So let's jump in John chapter 11, verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany. There's another Lazarus mentioned in the Bible, outside of a rich man's house, different Lazarus. Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother was sick. So it tells you which Lazarus, Mary, Martha, Bethany. And the story that's just described there about wiping his hair is in the next chapter. We may reference that when we get through this first chapter 11. Therefore, the sisters sent to him. Now, these two sisters, their brother is sick. They sent to him saying, to who? Jesus. Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Not just Lazarus is sick. You love Lazarus. The guy you love is sick. This is not some random person. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. Now, this will get, you say, well, it's a little confusing. Just keep reading. Don't stop reading when you get to something. Just keep reading. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now, I don't know how I missed this verse and verses like this growing up. This is the Bible saying out loud that Jesus, God-man, man-God, on the earth, had friends, had people that he loved personally. And the sister says, Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. She's appealing to their relationship. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days. Hears that he's sick. Instead of rushing to his aid, he's healing everybody else in the world. Go to your buddy. Heard that he was sick. He stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let's go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Like, why would you go back there? They literally tried to kill you. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. So he gives this contrast. If you're going to travel, travel during the day where there's light. Don't go at night where you can't see anything. And then compares that in the middle of the story, you have light in you and how that changes your life. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. So, okay, he's asleep. Well, dude, he's going to wake up anyway. What does that mean? You're going to go wake him up? Wakey, wakey, Lazarus, it's me. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. Okay, he's sick. He's going to get some rest. He's going to get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, this is kind of mind-blowing to me. It's not totally, because I know the rest of the story. Sister sends for Jesus. Lazarus is sick. You love Lazarus. And he stalls for 2 days. You'll see that he not only stalls for 2 days, he stalls long enough for Lazarus to die and be dead for 4 days before he even shows up. Have you ever had a situation where you called out to Jesus like, hey, Jesus, it's me, Richard, whom you love. I know that now. We got a situation. You need to show up. And then it's like he stalls. What are you stalling about? I prayed. You're supposed to answer my prayers now. There's no travel time. You live in me now. and then he doesn't show up. What are you going to do? And then something terrible happens. What are you going to do? Keep reading. Said to him plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. So now we're getting to the point of this. I let him die, and I'm glad that I let him die, because you're going to end up believing in a way you did not believe if I had gone immediately, or forget going, he could have just thought it, and boom, Lazarus is well. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, and the reason that the word Thomas in the Aramaic means twin, Didymus you may have also means twin, another word for his name, said to his fellow disciples, well, let us also go that we may die with him. Well, if he's died, he's going to die, we're going to die. Okay, let's go die. It's a little fatalistic, but that's where his head is. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Not only did he let him die, he missed his funeral. You would think you'd get Jesus to preach the funeral. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, and I recommend being bold to Jesus, because apparently his friends are bold with him. Look what she says. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Because there's no way if you had been here, he was sick. There's no way you would have let him die. He would not be dead. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Now that's a quantum leap past. If you had been here, you could have made him well. Now she still has hope, even though her brother is dead. 4 days dead. What is she talking about? Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And then this famous statement by Jesus. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. It's not a physical thing that will merely happen to people. I am that resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now they're not talking about Lazarus anymore. They're talking about what she understands and believes about who he is and what he can do and what he will do. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. You're the Messiah. Now let me just kind of stop here and ask the question, is that what you believe? Because if that's not what you believe, you will not make it. You're a dead man. You're a dead woman. You say, well, yeah, I believe Jesus lived. I'm not talking about him living. I'm talking about being the resurrection, being the Messiah, being the Christ, being the life that you need, trusting in the fact that he died, buried, raised from the dead for you personally. He loves you personally, and you've gotten in on that offer. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. Now, we don't see where it says that. Maybe he said, hey, go get your sister. It's not in the text. Or maybe she just went and said, hey, he wants you, just to get her moving. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. They're still grieving. Their brother's dead. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, same thing her sister saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And then the shortest verse in the Bible is what? Jesus wept. Now, there's another place in the scriptures where it says that Jesus wept over Jerusalem. And that weeping is like Mary and Martha's weeping, a deep, loud, guttural, just overwhelming weeping. This is not that weeping. These are silent tears or tears of compassion for the friends. So now you got Jesus weeping, empathetic to what they're going through. And now they're at the tomb. Verse 36, then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Even they're saying what Mary and Martha are saying. He loved him. What went wrong here? Why would Jesus let a bad thing happen to someone that he loves? And this is the question that many people face, because even if he shows up late, he doesn't raise your wife from the dead. He doesn't raise your husband from the dead. He doesn't raise your child from the dead. And you say, I want this story. How can a God who loves you, a Jesus who loves you, not come through even after the fact? And you got to trust him anyway. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Now, this gets pretty interesting between Jesus and the girls. Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time, you know, there's a stench. For he's been dead 4 days. Like, you move the stone, we're about to have a smell. There's death in there. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this that they may believe that you sent me. And they're hearing what he's saying. And then here we go. Now, when he had said this, he'd said these things, he cried out with a loud voice. Now, let me explain to you something about dead people. They cannot hear. Why are you being loud with a dead person? There's a good chance he's being loud because Lazarus is all wrapped up and already been raised from the dead inside the tomb. And he's calling out to Lazarus, like, come out, and can't hear through all the wrappings. But for some reason, Jesus very loudly says, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. So not everyone is going to believe. Now, as horrible as this is, and I don't even like saying stuff like this outside, not everyone is going to make it. Not everyone is going to be saved. It's not that God doesn't want everybody to be saved, but not everybody wants to be saved, is going to be saved. It's just not a thing. It's not going to happen. You say, but I'm going to keep sharing the gospel. I get that. Some people are going to die dead, and they're not going to make it. So what do? You keep living, you keep loving, you keep serving, you keep doing what God told you to do, and only he can save. And if someone locks up, you can't change that. Some of them believe, some of them went away to the Pharisees and told of the Pharisees gathered a council and said, then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. They're more worried about their power, their position, their place, and their nation than they are people believing and making it to heaven. These are the religious rulers. And one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, now listen to this, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish. So basically, Jesus, you're a dead man, saying it out loud. Now, this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. From that moment on, they had been working on it already, but now it's like, he's a dead man. Whatever we got to do, we got to get rid of him. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to the city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples. Now, this is interesting, and the Bible doesn't tell us what really happened. I personally believe this. Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. There's no way he did not love the 12 disciples. And for a few days, maybe a few weeks, he's out there, whatever they're doing, they're together. And he knows he's about to be gone, whether they understand that or not. Never underestimate the power of being together, spending time with people. We want to run in and run out and tell me something the Bible says, tell me some Greek word, tell me something interesting, and then we go back out there by ourselves. Eastern people, chill. They drink stuff like coffee, tea. They sit and look at each other. They're not in a hurry. We're in the hurry to go be with people and then get away from them as soon as we can. Verse 55, and the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple. What do you think? That he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it, that they might seize him. He's a dead man. Now, Lazarus was a dead man who was raised from the dead, who again was a dead man, but still lives forever. Look at John chapter 12, verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, so he's back to Bethany from Ephraim, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial." Are you saving anything for Jesus? So not sure how to tell you this. I like to play golf, and if you look in my trunk in a secret compartment, I have boxes of Pro V1 balls. Now I'm going to be robbed. And it occurred to me the other day that I am so busy saving those Pro V1 balls because they're expensive and I don't want to lose them, that I'm going to die one day and my son-in-laws are going to come play those balls. So you know what I've started doing? It's hard. But I get me a brand new little box at the sleeve and pull one of those $5 balls out and hit it in the woods. Because I figure I'm blessing some poor soul who's in there looking for his ball, going to find mine, and go, wow, there is a God. So, except that all of my balls say, if found, please return to my home address. I have it on the ball. There's a shot. Now, why am I telling you that crazy story? You may be saving up, and it's not for you at all. It may be his. So, Lord, is this mine or is this yours? You say, well, what if he says it's his? Then give it to him. Well, then I won't have it. It's not yours anyway if he told you to give it to him. Give it to him. He said, no, I'm piling stuff up. Yeah, and then you're going to drop dead and all your kids are going to spend your money and Jesus won't get it. Verse 7 again, but Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there and they came not for Jesus' sake only. So now they're not just trying to kill Jesus, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead, but the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Now, I read you the verse out of John 10:10 all the time. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly or to the full. Do you know why he wants to steal, kill, destroy you, your life, your stuff? Because you represent someone who has been raised from the dead, and that is a problem for hell. Now, if no one notices, it's not obvious to anyone that you've been raised from the dead, they might just leave you alone. So if you're under attack, you go, why am I under attack? Because you are a problem. People who have been raised from the dead are a problem because you are proof that it can happen. Go to Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, look at the motivation, the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, did what? Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Before Jesus saved me, I was a dead man, not going to make it, spiritually dead. And then the Spirit of God gives me faith. I understand that Jesus died, was buried, raised from the dead for me. I respond to that, and boom. If you go to my house right now, my wife, I don't know what got into her, but she's got these boxes of dirt. I had to bring dirt in. Somebody helped me in the church. And man, she's got these big boxes. She's planting garden. And I'm out there shoveling dirt like a crazy person going, what in the world? Can't we go to the grocery store for this? But anyhow, I said, what do you like about this? And I think you said, I like to see the results, right? So now she's got me on it. Because she went and bought these little packages of seed, like, you know, you're paying money for like little things you'd spit out eating watermelon. Like, this is worthless, but we're paying money for this. So she's shoving them in the ground about, you know, half an inch, maybe less. I'm like, okay, it rained. And I'm telling you, it was not long. Little bitty shoots coming out of that mud. You know what happened? Those seeds hit that dirt in the dark with some moisture, and kaboom, they germinate. Turns out we're all made of dirt. And the gospel, that seed hits us. Kaboom. And not only does that seed germinate and produce a little shoot, soon enough it gets big enough to bear fruit. And now your whole life changes, and you're proof that you've been raised from the dead. And they are mad as hell where they came from. And they're going to take you out. So stop being surprised. They're coming for you. Now, my last one is this. If you do not know Jesus, you're a dead man. And if you don't solve this before you die physically, you're not going to make it. There is no purgatory. I don't care what they tell you. It does not exist. It's created to raise money, basically. It does not exist. You will die and face God himself and give an account. And you can't get there and go, oh, I heard about this at church. Can I run back down and make this, figure this out? It's appointed to man once to die. After the judgment, you're out.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
So if you feel like a dead man, it's probably because you are a dead man or a dead woman, so fix it. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Just say, God, the soil of my life is, it seems like it's hard. Soften my heart. Because now, for some reason, this is making sense to me. And I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I believe that I'm a sinner and you're my Savior. And that you died on that cross, shed your blood, buried, raised from the dead to save me. Save me. Save me. I don't want to just believe it in my head. I receive you into my life. Save me. Now you're not a dead man anymore. You're dead to sin, the scripture says. If you believe that, you don't have to live that way anymore. But you're not dead spiritually. And you can live the life that he intended. He is the resurrection. He is the life. No man comes to the Father by him. It's all about Jesus. And you say, well, why don't you tell a different story? There ain't no other story. That's it. He is your only hope. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Get you some Jesus.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.